It's time for Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven. Arthur joins us on a Monday morning, and we talk about food. And today is, it's your Yom Kippur. Arthur, good morning.
Good morning. You don't say happy Yom Kippur, actually.
No, I didn't say that.
I don't think you said that. I'm just saying one doesn't, because it's the Day of Atonement. We're supposed to be in synagogue or wherever, atoning and praying for forgiveness. Believe me, there are so many sins you don't even know when you're committing them during the year. So they set aside an entire. It's like Catholic confession, except that you do it all in one day. Got it?
Yep, just one day instead of whenever you do something wrong, you head off to the confession. You just do it. This is the day.
Well, you know, Catholics get to do it whenever they want, really.
That's right.
But we only get one day to say we're sorry. So I don't know. I may be sorry I'm on the keto diet. It is over a month now. I do feel different, but don't think I've lost very much weight. I did not weigh myself at the beginning, so that's hard to tell. I do know that I haven't done much downward movement in the last 4 or 5 days. We'll see. I haven't weighed myself today. I am weighing myself again. Bob has lost, let's say, at least 7 pounds, but it's a month, so that's not a huge amount, 7 pounds in a month. On a normal calorie-restricted diet, he could probably lose 2 pounds a week, and then he could eat pasta. So I'm contemplating starch today, which I have not had in over a month, meaning potatoes, pasta, rice, bread, because yesterday I made short ribs. Now, let me say the one thing that the keto diet, in theory, allows is a lot of meat. A lot of meat, a lot of fat. And actually, they want you to eat more fat, more calories from, well, of course, fat has 9 calories a gram. Protein and carbohydrates have 4 calories a gram. So they want you to eat a lot of fat. The keto gods, who they are, the keto doctors. I'm not sure that this is good science. I'm sure that it's not good for my body in the long run, but I really would like to kick off some pounds so I would be a little bit more agile. Anyway, it's all about health. It always has been about health for me, never about vanity, got to say. Over the zillions of years that I've been dieting, I will tell you that the one thing I know is that you don't lose weight by going off the diet. So I'm sticking with this for a little longer, week by week. And what I have discovered is a lot of foods, because of the high fat content of this diet, a lot of foods that I normally wouldn't eat or I would be wary of eating or trying not to eat too much of, that I can now sort of gorge on. And dairy fat is one of those things. And I came, I am into clipping recipes when I see them, although I subscribe to the New York Times cooking website thing, and Sam Sifton, who's the editor, every week sends out a newsletter with links to recipes that were in the previous week or going to be in or were in 35, 40 years ago. I don't know where this recipe came from. It did not appear in the usual places. It was in last week on page, I guess it's page 2, every day, there is a mini crossword. And next to the mini crossword is a box, which we used to call a box, they're not boxed in anymore, called Here to Help. And I don't know how many days a week, maybe 1 or 2 days a week, there's a recipe there. So the recipe was for pimento cheese frittata, not something, if I wasn't on this diet, that I would dive into. But they don't bill it this way. They don't say, oh, this is a keto-friendly recipe. But it is. And it was right up my alley. Eggs, by the way, are the perfect food on the keto diet. So this is a frittata, but it's not truly a frittata. It's a baked egg dish. You do the whole thing in a 10-inch cast iron skillet in the oven. Well, on top of the stove and then in the oven. So, and we loved this, by the way. And even though Bob and I consumed the whole thing, which I'm sure was very high in calories, it seemed to be the portions that were allowed on the keto diet. And it certainly was satisfying. The only thing I changed from the original by the way, I have to say, this recipe, written by Valerie Lomas, L-O-M-A-S, as far as I know, she's not a regular contributor to the food section at the Times. I'm not sure I've ever seen her name before. I do know there was a recipe in here a good 6 weeks ago that was from a friend of mine who hasn't worked for the Times in several years. And the recipe could be 20 years old, but they didn't say that. They did credit her, though. Anyway, this to me was the perfectly written recipe. As I was a food editor for so many years, 20-whatever years, and my daily work included editing recipes that other people wrote so that they would be doable. I mean, the words. I didn't change. I mean, I would ask questions like, excuse me, what size pan is this? Or you forgot to mention the oven temperature. This recipe hits every spot. It's succinct and as well as detailed. So the foods that are in, the ingredients that are in here all together make a pimento cheese frittata. And you've got two cheeses, cream cheese, but only 2 ounces of cream cheese, which Valerie says to make a cold cream cheese cut into 16 pieces. Now, I'm thinking when I read the recipe, that's a lot of pieces for just 2 ounces of cream cheese. 2 ounces of cream cheese is 1/4 of a standard, classic, original Philadelphia 8-ounce bar of cream cheese. That's only 1/4 of an 8-ounce bar. But you know what? I was able to cut it into 16 nice cubes. You cut down and then you cut across and you got 16. Put them aside. I would put them in the fridge for the moment. By the way, you can prep this whole thing ahead and just make it at the last moment, which makes it an excellent dish for a brunch or luncheon. You could put a salad next to it. I keep, you know, because I'm dreaming of carbohydrates that I can't eat. I was thinking popovers would be fabulous, but I can't do that now. So, but any bread, you know, bread would be great. Good bread, toast, even. So, the recipe, you preheat the oven to 400 degrees. If you're making it right away, if you're not making it right away, don't bother preheating the oven at this point. But you can cut up the cream cheese. Now, the eggs get six large eggs, 1/4 cup of heavy cream, 1/2 teaspoon of salt. I use my sea salt. She says kosher salt, same thing. Well, more or less. Fact is, this was the perfect amount of salt for this dish, too. Rare that you come across a recipe where even the salt is the right amount. So I would use 1/2 teaspoon of kosher salt or sea salt or whatever salt you use for 6 eggs. And now the recipe does call for 1/2 teaspoon of hot red pepper flakes. However, since I'm feeding somebody who doesn't usually like hot red pepper flakes, I left them out. But I did put in a generous amount, more than 1/4 teaspoon called for in the recipe, of freshly ground black pepper. So that's the egg mixture. 6 eggs, 1/4 cup of cream, salt, pepper. You can or cannot use some hot red pepper flakes if you like, but there is a hot pepper in this recipe. So here's the only error I thought in this recipe. She only has you use 1 tablespoon of oil to saute the vegetables. And you know what? You need 2 tablespoons. And since I'm on a diet that cherishes fat, I had no problem adding my extra tablespoon of olive oil. And in that, I sauteed 1/2 onion. It was a nice size, but medium onion, diced, and 1/2 medium red pepper, diced, same size as the onion. Of course, trimmed and seeded, and I take the ribs out as well. Two nice sized cloves of garlic. I won't say real large, minced, and one jalapeno, which you also take the seeds out. I carve out the ribs and dice the jalapeno the same size as the onion and sweet red pepper. And here's what makes it pimento cheese frittata. 1 4-ounce jar of pimentos, pimento peppers. Now, I should have to go to my ordinary supermarket to find this. I'm not going to find it at the fancy place around the corner that does not have ordinary things. But sure enough, among all the non-ordinary jars of pimento peppers of one kind or another, pickled or not, there's a jar, a 4-ounce jar, of Cento's pimentos. But they weren't whole pimentos. They were cut into strips. So the recipe says to drain the jar, which I did, leaves you with very little juice, and dice the pimento, but I didn't bother because they were already cut into little strips. And after you've sautéed the onion, the bell pepper, the jalapeno, and the garlic for about 8 minutes, the onion should be in a 10-inch skillet, 10-inch black iron skillet. Throw in the pimento peppers, which you've drained, and toss them around, and then make an even layer of these vegetables on the bottom of the pan. Take the saved pimento juice and beat that into your eggs. A sprinkle on top. It's more than sprinkle. I would say, you know, just layer on top. 1 cup, loosely packed, of shredded sharp cheddar cheese, and 2 tablespoons, I would say at least, of finely chopped chives, and then pour on your egg mixture, and in the oven, 400 degrees for, mine took 15 minutes, maybe even 16 minutes. The recipe says 13 to 15 minutes. I'm sure that Valerie is right. She was right about everything else in this recipe. And if you are scared of hot pepper, do not be, because once you've sautéed this jalapeno with the sweet pepper and the onion, it really gets mellowed out. And so next time I make this, and it was not peppery at all, it was just nicely seasoned. Next time I make this, I may actually use 2 jalapenos and see where that gets me. But, you know, like I said, this is a very rich dish, something I would not normally glom onto, but I'm certainly going to be making this again for my keto diet. And I'm playing around with braising meat on the keto diet because we do like braised meat, meaning like, you know, short ribs, flanken. I just made chuck steaks last week. And last week when I made the chuck steak, I was sort of scared to add onion. Scared. But onions, of all the vegetables that you use sort of all the time, let me say, here's the rule. Any vegetable that grows underground is high in carbohydrates. Any vegetable that goes above ground is lower, if not actually low or very low, in carbohydrates. For instance, lettuces, and actually all leafy greens, collards, mustard greens, dandelion, you name it, if it's a leafy green, especially dark leafy green, it probably has nearly no carbohydrates, and probably a nice enough amount of fiber. Asparagus, very low in carbohydrates. Fennel, although fennel bulb, people think of sometimes, because it's called a bulb, it's only because of the shape, it's actually not a bulb, grows above ground. So fennel is very low in carbohydrates, high in fiber, a good vegetable if you're on a low-carb diet. Another one, there's so many. Cucumbers are practically free. Let's say they are free. If you want to eat cucumber, go ahead, as much as you want. Celery is free. Carrots grow underground, and they're incredibly high in sugar compared to those other vegetables. So I'm trying to think, how do you make a braise without the classic carrot, onion, celery, called mirepoix in French, or batuta in Italian, whatever. It's the base of so many gravies and sauces and dishes. So, but I did. The first time I made the chuck steaks, I didn't even want to use wine because that has carbs too. I used water and a couple of tablespoons of tomato paste. I have very good tomato paste. And a lot of garlic and black pepper. And that was my seasoning/braising liquid/eventually sauce. No thickening. Didn't need it. After the meat was reheated, the sauce was so dense you would not want to thicken it. So yesterday I made short ribs, but I decided to be daring. I did have a partial, was a cup and a quarter, I measured it, of red wine hanging around that I wanted to get out of the bottle and into a pot. And I added my 2 tablespoons of tomato paste because that worked out so well last time. But I did, in fact, once I'd browned the meat, and by the way, I did that in a casserole dish, not in my cast iron skillet. I did it in a little bit of oil, browned the meat very well on all sides. You don't have to brown the bone side, by the way. So it's 5 sides. And I took the meat out, and I sautéed, in the fat that was still in the pan, a medium onion. Well, did I use all medium onion? Or did I use the other half? I don't remember. I used a half of a medium onion, and 2 ribs of celery, because celery is free, and I love the fresh, herby flavor of celery. And, in fact, the celery and the onion sort of melted by the time the meat was all done. And they are what's probably giving my sauce the rich body that it has. Tomato paste helps, too. Tomato paste, besides being a great flavor booster, it is a natural source, by the way, of MSG, and what Japanese word we use, umami, which is this flavor, but not flavor. I had a conversation the other day with a Jewish friend who uses the word tam, T-A-M, a lot. And, in fact, there is a cracker, a kosher cracker called Tom Toms, T-A-M-T-A-M. And the word, to me, is equivalent to umami. It's a indescribable flavor, not flavor. I mean, it's the intensity of flavor. Tom is an intensity of flavor. And umami, I think, is the same thing. My friend disagreed with me on this, saying umami is something else entirely, but I think if you're Jewish and you use the word, that's what you mean, that deep, deep flavor. So tomato paste adds that to a lot of things, and I have this really good tomato paste that I get in Sicily, in Syracuse, to be specific, and some friends of mine were in Syracuse last year and brought me back really a large quantity of this, my favorite tomato paste. But if you don't, I could do a whole program probably on tomato paste, but suffice to say that the stuff we buy in cans, which has a very high moisture content, is very good stuff, but not as dense as what I use. So if I say 2 tablespoons, maybe you want to use 3 tablespoons of what you get from the can. I like that stuff from the can, but unless you're using the whole can, you have a problem with storage because it gets moldy like in days in the refrigerator. And yes, I have been known to freeze it where it stays stable for a while. But my Syracusan tomato paste, which is so dense, so concentrated that it never goes moldy, even stored at room temperature. It does oxidize a little bit, but I sort of like the oxidized flavor as well. I've kept it for years, literally years. I used to keep it in the fridge. Now I don't even keep it in the fridge. I keep it in the pantry, in a sealed container, of course. You can buy this tomato paste online, but it costs like $35 for a 6-ounce or 8-ounce jar. It's crazy. But there is something in the supermarket that's better than the canned tomato paste, and that is most of the tomato paste that comes in tubes. Not every brand, but most of the of those brands are rather concentrated, have great flavor, and they do stay in the tube for quite a while. So, actually, I have friends in Salerno who, when they give you a recipe that includes tomato paste, will tell you how much of the tube to use. Like, oh, use a half a tube for this, or like 2 1-inch squirts from the tube. So that's how they measure tomato paste. So I measure it the same way because that's how I learned how to measure it. But, you know, I actually do measure. So if you have tubed tomato paste, you could use 2 tablespoons of that because it's pretty concentrated. So whatever, you know, you have. By the way, I make sauce just from tomato paste. Really, one, lazy, and two, when I don't have, I'm very insecure if I don't have canned tomatoes in the house. So I make sure to always buy, even if I know I have a couple cans. But it's happened that I'm out of canned tomatoes. And I can make a pretty good spaghetti sauce just with tomato paste. My favorite is, this was actually my friend Juliana told this recipe to me in the car on the way to go buy the good tomato paste in Siracusa. But then when we got home to Salerno, I made it with her, and I make it a lot now just for its own sake. You saute a clove or 2 cloves, depends on how much you're making, of garlic in a skillet in olive oil, and before it browns, add your tomato paste, let's say 2 tablespoons is my 2 tablespoons of tomato paste, and smush it up good with a fork into the oil until you get it sort of well smushed and get a lot of the oil incorporated. And then continue smushing and adding milk. I would say for 2 tablespoons of tomato paste, you're going to want 1/2 to 3/4 cup of milk. And keep over medium heat, keep cooking this. Add a big pinch of dried oregano. And when it's all smooth and nice, if you want to add a little bit more milk and thin it out, you can, but you don't have to. And that's it. Delicious on spaghetti. I actually had the nerve to serve this to friends when it's such like an emergency meal dish. And I have to say, they liked it, but they said, next time, make your regular tomato sauce on it. But I've grown accustomed to it, and I like it. And I know that tomato paste and milk sounds weird, but think about, you know, penne alla vodka. What is that? It's a tomato cream sauce. Yes, it has vodka, and yes, maybe the vodka does lift the dish into a different realm than plain old tomato cream sauce, but still, it's tomato cream sauce. So before I leave you on Yom Kippur, or Yom Kippur, as we used to call it when I was a kid, I don't know when it became Yom Kippur, I have a new rule of cooking. I'm calling it the 3-minute rule. Almost anything you want to sear or grill takes 3 minutes per side. I have tried this with so many products. And the only one that did not take, what did I make the other day? That only took, oh, I know one. So some things take 3 minutes per item, like shrimp, depending on, if they're absolutely rock solid frozen, which is okay, put them into your biggest pot of rapidly boiling water, meaning a lot more water than there are shrimp. And after 3 minutes, your shrimp should be cooked. If they're totally thawed out shrimp, bring a smaller pot of water to the boil, at least enough to cover the shrimp by a lot, but, you know, it doesn't have to be an enormous pot. And again, you put the shrimp in, and if they're, you know, medium to large shrimp, 3 minutes. I just bought rock shrimp the other day. which my market has been carrying. They're previously frozen. So in the dish, they don't look too appetizing because they've given off all this liquid. But I made sure that they didn't give me any liquid. And a half a pound of rock shrimp was really only, I would say that was only a quart and a half of water. And they were done in 2 minutes, because rock shrimp are very small. But they turned pink in 2 minutes. Rolling, boil water, throw in the shrimp, 2 minutes. A thick steak, 3 minutes per side at the highest possible heat. A thick pork chop, 3 minutes a side. The skinny little pork chops, I can't tell you. I never make them, but I try to have everything at least an inch thick, 3 minutes per side. Even fish. I cooked some very thick slab of cod the other day, 3 minutes per side. So it's my new rule, the three-minute rule. Reminds me of my friend, my dearly departed friend, Alexis Bespalov, who had the five-minute rule. The five-minute rule was you never spend more than 5 minutes in the kitchen per guest. So if you have six people, you get a half an hour in the kitchen. He fortunately lived near some stores. This is back in the 70s. He lived in Yorkville, and he was near lots of stores that sold terrific cold cuts. So part of his deal was put out an array of cheese and cold cuts. But the other thing was shrimp, because 5 minutes a person, wow, the shrimp only takes three. That gives me 2 minutes to arrange the salad or whatever. So that was his 5 minute, my 3 minute rule.
Well, I want to thank you for jogging my memory again
about
the Tam Tam crackers, because I always, to me, they were mini matzahs.
But they're not.
Yeah,
there's something more than water and flour there. But they look like mini, they could look like mini, but they have angled sides. Is it six? Sided, or are they six-sided or eight-sided?
They reminded me of a different oyster cracker. I don't and
well, very large though.
Yeah, large. I was going to say, but
so I always called them Tom Tom too, until I was told that I was wrong and that they're Tam Tam.
All right. Well, the really bad news about if you like them is Manischewitz, by the way, was purchased by a kind of a marketing company. And it looks like they're going to stop production of Tam Tams or Tom Toms.
You're kidding.
No.
I don't believe it. I mean, well, maybe, I don't know. What can I say? I don't buy them hardly ever. I can't say they're one of my favorite things. But if they were one of my favorite things, they would have been discontinued a long time ago.
That came directly from the Jewish news, by the way. There you go.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what the kosher community is up to. I do buy Manischewitz noodles. I could still buy Manischewitz noodles.
Well, I think they're going to continue marketing most of the stuff, but they own another kosher food company as well, so they'll probably spread it out.
Well, they don't want to compete with themselves, or I don't know what the other... What could compete with Tom Toms, Tam Tams, whatever they call them?
What could compete with...
With a schmear of chopped liver, it's heaven.
What can compete with Manischewitz? Come on.
Well, that was my grandmother's... One of my grandmother's favorite things was chopped liver on a tom-tom. I'm just remembering myself now.
Well, thank you for joining.
Is this encouraging me to make chopped liver? It may be.
It might be. That's right.
It's definitely on my
keto diet.
Right. And my nephew, who has probably never read a word I wrote, sent me an article the other day about rendering chicken fat. And he's going to start saving his chicken fat. So I didn't even answer him. I just sent him a copy of my essay on schmaltz, which talks about saving chicken fat in the freezer. And, in fact, my essay is so famous that it inspired a whole book on schmaltz called Schmaltz. And I am credited in this book as being the inspiration for schmaltz. So, yeah, I can eat schmaltz. See, for me, chopped liver is nothing without a lot of fried onions, which are high carb, by the way. And but it's balanced out by the liver and the egg and the schmaltz. So
I went to a deli.
One essay I wrote when trying to figure out why I'm not losing quicker said onions are okay because you eat so, as a seasoning because you eat so little of them in the end, but I'm not sure I eat so little of them when I make chopped liver.
All right, Arthur, we will speak to you next week.
All right, have a great week.
Take care.
An easy fast for those of you who are listening to the radio, which is allowed, but who wants to listen about food on Yom Kippur?
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com on the web. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467, on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef, more information, 518-325-7000,